Welcome to the Turning Point Community Church Change Your World podcast with lead pastor John Wagner. Turning Point strives to bring fresh insight and powerful truths from God's unchanging word. Now, here's our special guest with today's message.
Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. We're going to be reading verses 9 through 13. Today's message is titled, God is Able. Say that today. God is able. Say it from the deep places. God is able. There is no doubt that God is able to give. However, the challenge is, once again, are you able to receive? Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. So I, Jesus, say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, I'm going to say that again, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus makes it very clear that what God is looking to give you is much more than what you could think to give to someone you love deeply. He made it very clear that what he's trying to give you isn't contrary to what you need. Ask for bread and give a stone. Ask for a fish and give a serpent. No, it isn't contrary, nor is it damaging to what you need. In fact, it's much more than what you need. But the problem lies in that we have a hard time receiving God's much more. Receiving is no easy task, and many people do not think about the manner in which we receive. Yet, how you receive or not receive can be detrimental to breakthroughs in your life and in the lives of those around you. You see, how we receive is either fear-based or faith-based. And that makes a huge difference. It's the difference between circling the mountain for the rest of your life or going into the promised land that God has desired for you. You see, God wants to give you your specific promised land. There's an anonymous quote that goes, God is always trying to give us something, but our hands are not open to receive them. We are either trying to receive based on confinements, which is fear, or based on freedom, which is faith. And it's important that you can identify the two so that you can conquer the one. The truth is, through fear, we either try to confine a gift that God is trying to give us to come a certain way, straight away, or no way. You know, like when someone prays but means, Lord, I really want to serve you. Please use me. But I only want to do that. I know you probably didn't call me to do that, but like, change your mind and call me to do it anyway. Also, I'd like to do that totally within my comfort zone and in, that place, preferably by the beach. Oh, and Lord, please, with no sacrifices, challenges, hard work, discomfort, and pain. Thanks. You know I'm ready to do anything for you. Fear or faith. You see, people can say a lot of things, but mean something else. People pretend to request things, but what they want and what they are requesting are different. Like when someone says, but means, Lord, I really want this relationship to be better. I want to be a better person. But, like, I don't want to have to work on my hurtful behavior, my attitude, or my offenses. Lord, please help them work around my toxic behavior, justify my attitude, and enable my offenses. Thanks. I'm really trying to work on getting better. On a more serious note, receiving or not being able to receive through fear is not only damaging to you, it's damaging to those around you. Fear hurts, and it doesn't just hurt you. You see, God is trying to give you breakthroughs in your life, but not only for your life. And he is not only trying to give you spiritual breakthroughs, but relational, emotional, financial, career, business, health, wholeness, family, all kinds of breakthroughs. God's desired breakthroughs for you are unlimited, but fear will limit God's breakthroughs from manifesting in you and for you. When you receive through faith as opposed to fear, you free a gift that God wants to give you to come any way, anyhow, anytime, fear or faith. It not only determines how you receive, but it also determines how you give. And since we all know that you cannot give what you do not have, it's important to know that sometimes we do not have because we do not receive. Not because it's not available, but because we do not receive it, be it conscious or subconscious. It's an unwillingness to receive. And here's the thing. If you cannot receive from God, you cannot give the things of God. And I'm talking about big things here, God-sized things. If you cannot receive what can only come from him, then you cannot give what can only come through him. Again, I'm talking about God-sized things, changes, transformations, and fruit that are undeniably from God. And I don't know what your God-sized things are, but I do know that he wants to give them to you. Receiving can be difficult. Let me rephrase that. Faith-based receiving can be hard. You see, through faith, our prayer sounds more like, Lord, it doesn't have to be that way, this way, or my way. I just want your way anyway. And the translation of a fear-based prayer sounds a little more like, Lord, please give me my way, or my way, or my way. Even though that's not how we say it, it is what we're saying. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about the root of receiving in fear and the fruit of receiving in faith. You see, there are two kinds of prisons, mind and man. The prison of your mind confines, restricts, and self-sabotages. The prison of man burdens, torments, and oppresses. And some of us have allowed our mind to put our spirit in captivity from receiving from God. And some of us have allowed man to oppress our spirit from receiving from God. Nonetheless, they are both prisons. And here's the thing. You can be functioning in one or the other or both. These prisons of mind and man create a certain way of thinking. And this thinking attempts to try and force God into working in a limited set of ways. However, what you end up doing is limiting the ways he works for you and in you. You see, you cannot limit God, but you can most certainly limit you. This way of thinking is called dichotomous thinking. And one of the dichotomous ways of thinking is called categorical thinking. And categorical thinking is when we see life through either or. Example, school children see themselves as either smart or dumb, popular or unpopular, hardworking or lazy, and that's understandable. They're children. But when we do not grow out of that, as adults, we relate to people, circumstances, and God that way. A categorical thinker will say, God is going to help me either this way or that way. God can only help you either this way or that way, which in turn can end up no way because we fail to receive anything from God because it didn't come either or. Linear thinking is another form of dichotomous thinking. And this is when we see life through if-then. Example, if I do this, then I should get that. If you do this, then you will get that. If-then. Both categorical and linear thinkers simplify God. And they only look for God in this inflexible manner. Listen, faith is flexible. It is not categorical or linear. Faith is not either or, nor is it if then. God doesn't show up in just a certain way according to our absolutes. So let's not try and make him. And when we stick to our narrow-minded absolutes, the only absolute thing that can happen is that we absolutely miss him. Faith must be flexible enough to be the clay as to allow the potter to be the potter. I'm going to say that again. Faith must be flexible enough to be the clay as to allow the potter to be the potter. And some of us have been in the prisons of mind and man for so long that even when the doors are opened, we either don't see it or we fight to stay in it. We refuse the release. We refuse the freedom. And some of us, sadly, actually sabotage our healing. And most of the time, it's because we're afraid. Remember, fear confines and faith freeze. Some people fight not to believe. They reject proof of something because acknowledging it means that you must now let go of something that you're more comfortable with, be it healthy or unhealthy. You see, we don't always want to believe what is healthy. We don't always want to believe what is best. We don't always want to believe what's whole. And we don't always want to believe that what God is trying to give us is going to take sacrifice, hard work, discomfort, stretching, and change. Some people find comfort in unhealthy environments because it's an environment they know. And sometimes people will not attempt to make the unhealthy healthy because they feel it'll take more work and sacrifice to get it healthy than to keep it unhealthy. That was a tongue twister, but that would be true. And that would be fear. Fear is cowardly because it is self-focused. It doesn't want to do the healthy work. It doesn't want to make the healthy sacrifices that include not just their best interest, but the best interest of others. Fear can be blind to the truth because the truth can be hard. And fear always attempts to distort the things until they are palatable, manageable, less of a fight. Fear runs from healthiness because healthy doesn't mean easy. And healthy definitely doesn't mean stagnant. Anything healthy grows. In some form or another, there will be growth. Listen. If you're walking with God, You will always be and should always be in an ever-growing, healthy process. And healthy growth means stretching and changing. In other words, you cannot stay the same size you were yesterday. And if you are, that's a problem. You should be getting bigger and bigger. The truth is, you cannot be with God and not be big. You see, it's less of a fight to stay small. And yes, it is a fight with hell to get big. And so, who do you want to be? Better yet, who were you created to be? Listen, don't settle for the small the devil's trying to sell you. Don't you buy some shrunken little version of you. The truth is, whatever the devil's trying to sell you, it is not you. You were created to be bigger. So fight for the bigger you for the bigger picture. Listen, God's moves can come in many different ways, and we should never try and confine God just because it hurts, or just because it's uncomfortable, or just because it's hard. We should always try and free God to use us in his mighty work. You see, nothing healthy just happens. Nothing healthy isn't without intent and effort. It is not without healthy blood, sweat, and tears. And so sometimes people concede to the prison, to the familiar blood, sweat, and tears. Oh, yes, they're bleeding, sweating, and crying, but it's because they're afraid to let go of a familiar toxin, maybe a generational toxin, nonetheless, a toxin. And if one is not careful, he or she will build a toxic system around them. We've all seen it. It's those that have an addiction to affliction, those that love functioning in dysfunction. They love the havoc, the chaos, the malice, the conflict, the division. We all know people like that. Of course, no one in this room is like that. We just know others. Listen, that is the face of fear, cowardice. They feel the fight to heal is too big, so they settle for the fight to keep the toxin. Raymond Lidwiss put it beautifully. Courage is the power to let go of the familiar. Godly faith, real faith, takes courage. Are you able? Are you able to heal, to grow, to get up, to challenge yourself up, and to persevere? Are you able to receive what God wants to give you? Are you able to step up to your assignment? Are you able to walk through the door that God has opened for you? The unfamiliar door, the unknown door, the uncomfortable door? Are you willing to intently seek the scary, the new, the different, the healthy? Are you willing to put in the effort to exchange self-centeredness for God-centeredness, to change, to expand, to be stretched, pulled, and pushed in order to be the better you for the better all? To be the you, my friends, that is already in you. It's what you were created to be. The right thing and the easy thing are hardly ever the same thing. You know, we all have a few things that we share, a few likenesses that we all share, all of us. The first one is brokenness. We are all broken in some form or another. And we will all try and heal from that brokenness through either flesh or spirit. In other words, through our weakness or through our strength. And unfortunately, our default is almost always flesh, our weakness. But it is important to put this back there. Your strength is in your spirit. We all also have a shared weakness, and that's fear. Now, it shows up differently for all of us, but until we conquer fear, it will dictate a lot of our unwanted actions. And we all have a shared need, and that is to love, be loved, and be whole. And it's not just a need, it is our right. The bottom line is we all have these needs and likenesses, and unfortunately, for the most part, we all try to work through them in our weakness, our flesh. And I cannot say this enough. God is spirit. So when God tries to give us something, it will always be in spirit. So we cannot show up in our flesh. We can't show up to receive from God in our flesh when what he's trying to give us is in his spirit. That is when we totally miss him. Listen, what God is trying to do is greater. It is much more. However, greater nor much more will not and cannot be received via fear. Again, fear is self-centered, so it births all kinds of self-focused, self-aggrandizing malignancies, what I call sub-weaknesses. These sub-weaknesses are hate, envy, insecurity, judgment, inadequacy, shame, etc. And so in our weakness, we try to fight our brokenness and fears with more brokenness and fear. We keep circling the mountain. And unfortunately, sometimes, if health doesn't present itself in a form that we do not fear, in other words, in a form that we're more comfortable with, then we will end up walking away from the very thing that it was sent to help, heal, and save. Listen, God is trying to fill you for your destiny. You can be sure of that. And God is also trying to break you for your breakthrough. But make no mistake, while God is trying to fill you for your destiny, the devil is trying to drain you for your demise. And while God is trying to break you for your breakthrough, the devil's trying to break you for your breakdown. Let's be clear. It is a fight. Are you willing? Are you able? You know, I wouldn't think to tell God, there's only one way to give me. There's only one way I'll receive from him. Not only because I reverently fear and honor God, but because I trust him enough to know that what he wants to give me is more than I can think to ask, more than what I think I need, and more than I can purpose for good. But we do that sometimes. In subconscious ways, we tell God how we want to receive, and that is fear. That is not faith. Fear misses blessings. Fear actually walks right by them. Fear squanders them, while faith beholds them. Faith can see a blessing coming miles away. Actually, blessings follow faith. In Psalm 23, 6a, David said, "Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life." And your faith will have goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. I can testify to that. And we've all seen it in the New Testament. The difference between those that were functioning in fear and those that were functioning in faith. Those that did not receive because of fear and those that received big because of faith. Some people actually wanted Jesus to show up the way they wanted, and so they could not see him. They couldn't receive what he was there to give them. They totally missed him. You know, we all have a pretty little picture or idea of how things ought to be. We create a story for our life, or better said, we create a story for how our life ought to be. But then, life happens. Can I get an amen? We miscalculated. Why? We didn't calculate people. Sorry to break it to you, but we, you and I, we're part of the people group, each and every one of us. And so, not only did we not calculate others accurately, we didn't calculate ourselves accurately. You see, we didn't calculate pain, hurt, brokenness, learned behavior, failures, anger, bitterness, envy, competition. We didn't calculate malice, selfishness, depression, loss, insecurity, fears. We didn't calculate betrayal, abuse, mistakes, judgments, and abandonment. We didn't calculate humanity. And so when humanity happens, the fear of miscalculating humanity gets transferred to miscalculating God. And the truth is, we are not to try and calculate God. You are to cooperate with God. You are to commune with God, concur with God, be in coalition with God, and you are to collaborate with God. That is when we free ourselves to receive from God and to be used by God. What we fail to realize sometimes is you see what you speak. You see what you speak. And sometimes all you have to do to get through certain battles, if not most, is remind yourself who God is. Remind your circumstance who God is. Remind your fear who God is. Remind your mountain who God is. And it doesn't matter how you do it. You can do it walking in the park, shouting in the dark, or singing in the storm. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I know that God, my God, God is good. I don't care how you do it. You could do it with the two-step. Say, devil, I'm still two-stepping. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. Just remind everything, anything, and all things that God is able. You may not be able, but it's not about you, is it? No more being self-centered. It's about being God-centered. Get the focus where it needs to be. Get the focus on God, because yes, in your flesh, you may not be able to change your attitude. Yes, in your flesh, you may not be able to ask for the forgiveness that you know you need to ask for. Yes, in your flesh, you may not be able to humble yourself. Yes, in your flesh, you may not be able to change your stinking thinking. Yes, in your flesh, you may not be able to right the wrongs that you know you need to right. So yes, in your flesh, you may not be able to, but he is able through you, because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So remind yourself as Abraham did in Romans chapter 4, 20-21. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And so you need to be fully convinced and tell yourself, I am fully convinced that what he has promised, and listen to me, his promises for you are all good, whether you recognize it or accept it, they're good, and he is able to perform them. And remind yourself, as David did in Psalm 27:13, I would have lost heart. In other words, yes, the devil hit me hard, but I'm still standing, and I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would have seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So remind yourself, you know what, devil, I don't receive from you. I only receive from my maker. And yeah, I would have lost heart, but I believe that here in this land of the living, I am going to see the goodness of the Lord. Yes. Are you able? Yes, you are. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Isn't it interesting that God names three things he gives us along with the one thing he does not? And I believe that's because fear can cripple our power, our love, we see it all the time, and our sound mind. But as he tells us what fear can suppress, he also tells us what can obliterate fear. And God, my friends, can obliterate fear. In other words, there are three things that God gave us that can conquer the one thing the devil tries to give us. Don't mess with God's math. You see, God doesn't adhere to human probability and statistics. So yes, the devil may try and knock you out with a sucker punch, but he didn't calculate God in your life. He didn't know that you had three with you, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you see, fear is not of God, but the power to conquer it is. Fear is not of God, but the love which disables it is. Fear is not of God, but the sound mind that defeats it is. And each and every one of you have a spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. Do not allow fear to suppress it. Let faith unleash it. Hebrews 11:6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, faith is so powerful, it's an actual substance. It's tangible, it can be felt. It's evidence, proof of things unseen. I believe it's evidence of heavenly things, holy things, things unseen. That is why faith will always see what fear cannot. What fear miscalculates, faith accurately calculates. Fear calculates down, while faith calculates up. Fear minimizes you. Faith expands you. Faith maximizes you. Faith builds sanctuaries, not forts. Faith is an open hand, not a fist. Faith creates cures, not cancer. Faith creates kingdoms, not ruins. Bottom line, faith frees. It does not imprison. Faith isn't easy because it takes you out of the center and centers on what God is centered on. Receiving through fear is self-focused. Receiving through faith is focused on what God is focused on. And we all know that what we're focused on and what God is focused on sometimes are worlds away. Remember in Luke chapter 11, Jesus said, "How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" First off, know this. What God is trying to give you is something holy. Second, it's spirit. It's a Holy Spirit breakthrough. Now listen, it may show up as a breakthrough in your career, your family, business, emotionally, relationally, psychologically, socially, physically, financially, etc. There are no limits on how God may show up, amen? But make no mistake, it's a holy breakthrough through the Holy Spirit, which means its effect will be larger than you. And truthfully, that's the only way I want it. Listen, I know that I'm not just trying to have breakthroughs in my life. I want a holy breakthrough. And most of us, if not all of us, want holy breakthroughs, not just breakthroughs. You see, us humans, when you ask of God, what you ask for usually only includes you. But when God goes to give you, he includes the all. He includes he works all things together for good. You see, we ask for me and mine, but God wants to give you for you and his. It's the greater work for the greater cause, for the greater picture. Now let's take a look at what Jesus tells us to do before he tells us how much more he wants to give us. So I, Jesus, say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. This command is a faith-based promise, a promise for the courageous, a promise available to everyone. And it is a promise. He didn't say you might receive. He didn't say you might find. He didn't say the door may be open. No, he said it will. But can you handle the holiness of it? The much more of it? That is why when you go to ask, seek, and knock, you must do so without fear, but with all faith. No flesh, but with spirit. No cowardice, but with courage. No self-centeredness, but with God-centeredness. Remember, what he wants to give you is much more. What he's going to give you will be holy. So it will be against what your flesh wants to do. And that's okay. Some of our greatest battles are within ourselves. It will not be what you're focused on. It will be what God is focused on. And what God is focused on will include the all that we cannot see sometimes. Therefore, make no mistake, this will have to be the work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, your strength. So ask with faith, and something holy will be given to you. Seek with faith, and you will find something holy. Knock with faith, and you will enter into something holy. This is called kingdom faith, a faith that benefits God's kingdom, not man's kingdom, a faith that includes everyone and everything in the kingdom. Luke chapter 12, verses 31, 32, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Here it goes again. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I love this scripture, one of my favorites. It shows us our Father's loving kindness. Again, what does he tell us not to do? Do not fear. And then he confirms that he's not just trying to give us anything. And that's the problem with us sometimes. We're chasing the anythings of the world. We want the anythings, but God wants to give you the kingdom. The kingdom. What would that look like? In Matthew 13, 33, Jesus tells us, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. So Jesus tells us the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. And so what is leaven? The definition of leaven is a substance, typically yeast, that is added to dough to make it ferment and rise. Leaven, a pervasive influence. I love that. A pervasive influence that modifies something or transforms it for the better. So the kingdom is like leaven, and God tells us it's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. In other words, listen carefully. What God is trying to give you is something that when you add it to whatever in your life, it will cause everything and all to rise. And like leaven, God is the pervasive influence that modifies you and transforms you for the better, so that you and all that you touch and all that you encounter and all that you affect will rise and get bigger with you. Fear or faith? Cowardly or courageous? And so, I say to you, my lovelies, what God is trying to give you doesn't just include you. What God is trying to give you is something that will modify and transform you for the better of all. And what God is trying to give you is much more than you know to ask and much more than you know to give. And what God is trying to give you will make you and everything around you rise. So rise. Don't miss what God is trying to do in you and through you. Remember, do not fear, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. No more fear, all faith, no cowardice, all courage. Receive your breakthrough and play your part in the breakthrough, because you, each and every one of you, are indeed able, because God is able.
Turning Point reaches people by teaching Jesus with creative excellence. If you would like to learn more about Turning Point Community Church and its ministries, visit us on the web at tpcconline.com. We're located on the northwest corner of 114th Street and Quaker Avenue in Lubbock, Texas. Our service times are Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. Thank you for listening to today's message. Join us next week for another message that will change your world.